Peter, book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to ask you to give me a good listen tonight. Okay, give me a good listen. Don't draw any conclusions till after I'm done. Well, you might not be able to draw them after I'm done. You might be one of them type messages where you need to go home and think about it a while. I'm going to preach from a text, and what motivated this is I just keep hearing all the time this text halfway quoted, and I can't stand that. I can't stand for somebody to quote half a verse. For instance, John 6:37, I pointed this out to you. All of us have heard, "Him that cometh to me, I will what?" That's John 6:37, half the verse. You know what the first half of the verse says? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast them out." They quote half the verse because they don't want to explain the first half. The first half goes with the second half. Well, this text that I'm dealing with tonight is sort of the same kind of way. It's the text, "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." How many of you have heard that text before? It's quoted and quoted and quoted, and it's quoted all the time. That's half a text. It's half a verse. The same thing as John 6:37 is half a verse. So what we want to do tonight is I want to give you this text. I want to teach you tonight what I believe it's teaching. I'm going to teach it in its context. I'm not going to pull the verse out and quote it. I'm going to show you the surrounding verses and show you what the text means. And then you weigh it and see if indeed that's what God's Word teaches. Does that sound fair? So what I'm asking you to do is to give me a good listen and weigh what I'm going to give you. Well, let's go ahead and read the whole text first, and let's go ahead and look at it. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His" what? "Concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Everybody underline, if you underline in your Bible, underline usward, because that's going to come into play later. Usward. Everybody say usward. That means us. It's the idea of it. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, that's the rest of the verse. Do you see that whole first part of the verse is never quoted? That happens a lot when people quote Scripture, quote half of it, not all of it. Now, what we want to do is I'm going to put this up on the board. I didn't get to get any of the little kids to help me, so this is probably misspelled, but we'll try to work our way through it this evening. We're going to look at the question. We're going to look at the reason, the usward, and the inability. It's four things that I want to cover this evening. All right? You see, verse 9 is really the answer to a question. Does everybody hear that? Verse 9 is really the answer to a question. And that's the reason what the first thing we want to look at is what question is Simon Peter answering in this context. He's answering a question for us. So we have to ask ourselves, what question is he answering? Well, notice the question in verse 4. Let's read 3 and 4. "Knowing that this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming?" That's the question. Where is the promise of His coming? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." So that's the question. The question basically is, well, where's He at? All you Christians, and that's what they say the scoffers will do in the last days, all you Christians are going around preaching and singing about the second coming. Where's He at? And is that, do y'all not hear that on occasions? People scoff and make fun of the second coming. And here the Bible prophesies that they would raise this type of question. Where is He at? He promised He's going to come. He promised He's going to come. Where's it at? And they go on to say all things continue as they were from the foundation or from the creation of the world. Now, I'm not going to deal very long with this. I'm just showing you the verses in advance. Verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant." It's pretty bad when you're willingly ignorant, isn't it? You'd be surprised the number of people that are willingly ignorant. They receive the Word of God, but they don't want to check it out. They don't want to check it out or test it out by the tester at all. They just say it's wrong. Okay? For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and that the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. So what he's saying, he says, first of all, they say that all things continue as they were from the creation world. They're willingly ignorant. They overlook the fact that God's already judged the world once. And He judged the world, it's talking about, in, of course, the flood in the book of Genesis chapter 6. God brought judgment and has already destroyed the world one time. They said that all things continue, and all things has been the same since the creation of the world. And Simon Peter says, no, they haven't continued the same. God's already judged the world one time. And then he mentions in verse 7, He's going to judge it again. Except the second time, it's going to be by fire. Now let's move back down into verse 9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His what? What promise? That's exactly what it is, Jim Dye. That's exactly what the context is saying. He's answering the question, where is the promise of His coming? Where is He at? Y'all saying all the time that Jesus is coming. Jesus has promised to come. Everything's still the same. I don't see Him. Your daddy said it, your granddaddy said it, the granddaddy before him said it, but still yet, everything's the same. Where is the promise of His coming? Why hasn't Jesus come yet? Is He slack? Is He tardy? Is He late? Is He not going to keep His promise? That's the question. Well, in verse 9, he's answering, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. You see, he's answering that what? He's answering the question. And that's the reason. He's going to explain the reason. Now, we've looked at everybody understand the question? Where is He at? Where's the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things consider or continue as they were. And what He's going to do in verse 9 is He's going to begin to explain to you why Jesus hasn't come yet. Folks, I want to tell you something tonight. There's a reason why Jesus hasn't come yet. And He reveals in this text why that Jesus hasn't come yet. All right? All right, it goes on to say, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to what? To usward. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It says that the Lord is what? He's long-suffering. He's long-suffering. You know, we dealt with Christian love last week, and we said that love is long-suffering. That's the same Greek word. Exact same word. It means to hold up under the face of great provocation. And certainly, you would have to agree with me tonight that the Lord certainly is doing that. This is indeed an old, wicked, depraved world. A lot of sin going on. There's a lot of depravity going on. There's a lot of crime going on. There's a lot of scoffers going on. There's a lot of making fun of God, a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false everything out there. And this world has always abused and mistreated God's people too, by the way. And that's great provocation for God to do what? Aren't you glad God's not us? We would have destroyed it a long time ago. But God, in mercy and in grace, is holding back the judgment that's going to fall on the earth after He takes His people back. He's holding back coming and not only taking His people back, but also after when He comes, He's also going to destroy this earth, as He reveals here in 2 Peter chapter 3. So He's being long-suffering right now, Timmy Bailey, in the face of great provocation. All this sin and all of this iniquity and all of these things. This is a wicked, depraved world. And God, with the snap of His finger, could bring it all to a stop. But He hasn't. In the face of great provocation, He is held back. And He's still holding back. And the sin keeps escalating and growing and growing. Growing, and He's still holding back. You know why He's holding back? Look at verse 15. It'll explain to you why He's holding back all of this judgment that's getting ready to fall. Verse 15 says, account that the long-suffering of our God is what? Is salvation. I want to do that again because I would like, if you don't mind, everybody say salvation. All right? Notice what it says there. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is what? Is salvation. In other words, Jesus hasn't come yet because He's still saving sinners. That's why He hadn't come. So He's holding back all, He's restraining all. You know what? That cup of wrath is growing. And I'm telling you, when He comes at the second coming, look at Revelation chapter 6, says men will cry to the rocks and the caves to fall on them and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. He's mad. And He drops all of His anger down and will destroy this planet and all that is therein because of sin and iniquity. This is a cursed world. People all the time ask you and say, well, why is there so much bad things happen? If there's a God, why does all of these bad... This is a cursed world. All of the bad things happen because of the sin that man has brought upon this cursed world. But you know what? God's prepared a perfect world to come. You want to be a part of that one, and to be a part of that, you got to trust the King, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's people said, there's better things are coming. Better things are coming. This old world and all that is in it is going to be destroyed. This is a temporary place that we're dwelling in. We have an eternal place waiting on us. So He holds back all of His wrath in the face of great provocation. God's held back. And He's still holding back. And the reason why He's holding back is because He's still saving people. Amen. That's why He's holding back. Everybody with me? All right. We've noticed the question. Everybody agree with that? The question, you see it in verse 4. Where's the promise? Why hadn't He come yet? Well, the reason is because the Lord's being long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any perish. And the long-suffering of God is salvation. Everybody see that? So He's not coming because He's still saving. Okay. What's the usward? Who's the usward? Yeah, let's go ahead and consider the usward. I want you to consider something. I want you to think about something. I wrote something down, and this is going to be hard for me to explain. You ever have something that you can understand but it's hard to explain? This is one of those type situations. I understand it completely, what the man said, and I believe what the man said. It's hard to explain. What does he mean here by the usward, is my point. And I'm going to show you here in a little bit what is meant by the usward. But before we begin there, is this saying universally that the Lord doesn't want one person on this entire world to perish? Is that what that's referring to? Because most generally, that's how that's applied. Do y'all not agree? God doesn't want one soul to perish. That's how it's usually applied. But I want you to consider something and think a little bit about something. It says that God is waiting. Everybody say waiting. God is waiting. Okay? Now, if He's talking about every person, He doesn't want one single soul on the planet to perish. If you didn't want anyone to perish, period, don't you think He'd have came 1900 years ago? Think about what I just said. Every day, let me read this to you. You listen to this real quiet. There are people being born all the time, do y'all agree? And they're dying all the time. Most of them have never heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Most who do reject it. Do you all agree with that? Yeah. Bible tells you that. They all perish in their sins with every passing day. More and more people die unrepentant and perish. Do you all agree with that? Every passing day, Jim, die more and more dying and going to hell. That should break your heart. Every passing day, that's true. Hundreds of thousands. Very few people are being saved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says broad is the way that leads to what? There is a way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Did the Bible not teach that? So, let's keep on thinking about this. Now, the longer the period of time that passed before Jesus turns in final judgment, the greater number of people who perish. I want to read that again. And I see if you'll shake your head to that. You won't have to, because I'm going to tell you right now it's true. The longer the period of time that passes before Christ returns in final judgment, the greater number of the people that perish. Is that true or not? Well, absolutely it's true. The longer the time before it comes, the greater the number of people that die without Christ. The numbers are accumulating in a horrifying fashion. If God wished no one to perish, why wait? If God wished no one to perish, why wait? It's been 1,900 years, Bright Shaman, since He gave that promise. If a delay means that an ever-increasing number of people are perishing, then the worst possible plan of action would be a what? Would be a delay. Y'all believe that? That's a good statement, I think. So in this context, I think you got to limit what when it says here he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I think you got to define the usward. And would y'all mind if I do that? Would y'all mind if I define the usward for you? I just can't wait to jump in on it. I want you to mark it down and look at it. I think the usward in the context, I think the usward is God's elect. And I think I can prove that from Scripture. If you take the other view, you still got a problem with God delaying. Do you not? Because there's far more people perishing than being saved. There ain't even no comparison in number. You got a problem. If you take the other view, you got a big problem in explaining that text. Because if it was even not willing that any perish universally, then a delay would be the worst thing he could do. I'm telling you tonight, and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that when Paul says the usward, he's talking about himself, and he's talking about this church of people that he's writing to. Notice what he says about these people. I want to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter, not 2 Peter, chapter 1. I'm going to show you who these people are. I may just write these all on the board. Y'all in a hurry? I ain't in a hurry. We want to look at God's Word and then you look at it yourself. Boy, I hate to erase that, though. I'll put them on the other side. Right on the wall. Here's what I'm telling you. I'm saying the usward is God's elect. Now, what you need to do is take a concordance and look up the word elect and see how many places it's used. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that He will send forth His angels and they will gather together His elect from the four corners of the earth. You see, this is a word that we've lost. I can call you tonight, if you've trusted Christ, a Christian. I can call you a saint. We've lost that one. I'm not going to get off on that. I get irritated anytime I talk about it. We've done almost lost the word saint. But I can also call you God's elect. No one does that. But God's Word does. Colossians says, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. He'll send forth His angels and gather together His elect from the four corners of the earth. I encourage you to get a concordance and look that word up, and you'll find it everywhere in Scripture. But listen to me. Nobody wants to deal with it. It's like it doesn't exist. And I'm telling you, that word is a Bible word. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 says, 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Dosia, Asia. Got any problem with that big word, then interpret it yourself. That's what verse 2 says. Elect, according to what? The foreknowledge of God. Uses the word elect. I'm telling you tonight that those people that God's being long-suffering for is His elect. The word elect is, look it up. What's the word elect mean? Chosen. Look it up. Chosen, chosen, chosen. Well, that's just Israel. Wrong. That's applied to all the saved. All the saved. Okay, is everybody still with me? Romans chapter 8. Now you're going to have to follow me real tight and listen real tight while you're at it. Romans chapter 8. This is what I taught on last Monday night on our last broadcast. Romans 8, 29 and 30 is God's plan of salvation. Total plan, folks. I'm talking, He reveals it from start to finish. Everybody say start to finish. He reveals it when it began. He's also going to tell you when He's going to finish it, Brother Coy. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says, whom He did foreknow. Now, foreknowledge basically means that He set His affection and love upon you. For instance, book of Amos 3, verse 3, He was talking about the nation Israel, and He said, you have I known above all nations that are upon the face of the earth. Did God not know the other nations? Yeah, He knew who they were, but He didn't know them in the same fashion. He knew Israel in an intimate, close, loving manner. Does everybody see the difference? One of the things that people do with this word foreknowledge is they butcher it and they try to throw the predestination election right out the window with that by using the word foreknowledge. And what they say is this, is God looked up through history and seen who was going to believe on Him. I'm going to tell you why that's wrong. If He looked up through history, apart from His saving grace, His quickening power and His call, no one would believe on Him.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Seriously. No one would believe on Him. If He looked up through history and was certain of it. You see, before I was saved, folks, I was what? Dead in my trespasses and sins. For me to respond to Christ, I had to be made alive. So looking up through history don't cut it. Foreknowledge doesn't mean He looked up through history. Foreknowledge means He set His affection and love upon you. See, that's the idea of the word. Just like He knew Israel above all families that are upon the face of the earth, Amos 3:3. Listen, He did the same thing for you. Did you deserve that?
No.
Absolutely not. That's what the word grace means. All right, so He foreknew you and He did what? Predestinated means predetermined. It means marked out beforehand. Now, you know who the usward is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9? It's the elect, but it's also those that He foreknew and He predestinated. Because it says those He foreknew and predestinated, He called them. And then when He called them, what did He do? He justified them. You see, when the Lord calls you with that inward call the day that you're saved, when He opens your heart and opens your mind and opens your blinded eyes and makes you alive, you know what happens? You come to Him. You don't have to run back in the aisle and try to jerk somebody down front. When the Lord calls you, my friend, you're going to come. Now, you might say no to me calling you to be saved. That's an outward call. But when the inward call of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will respond by trusting Christ. Yes, sir. God is long-suffering towards His elect, towards those that He foreknew and He predestinated. Now, can I tell you a little something else about that? Turn to John 6. Now, you look up what I'm saying. I want you to. You write it down and check it out because I encourage you to. You need to. I got convictions about this. I've been misrepresented in this before by a lot of people. But you'll know where I'm coming from because you sit under it. All right, would you just look up here? I wish I'd quit doing that. I taught teenagers for 27 years. And that's where I have it. I don't mean to be disrespectful and say, look up here. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? But look up here anyway. Okay. All right, everybody with me? Now, Romans 8, 29, 30 said that God foreknew and did what? Now, I'm going to tell you what God did. Those that He foreknew and He predestinated, said He called and justified. I don't want to go there. Those that He foreknew and predestinated, you know what He did with them people? He gave them to His Son. He gave them to His Son. Do you believe that? Well, let me show you that it did. Now let's look at John 6:37. What's it say? What does it say? Read it. All that the Father giveth me. What's going to happen? Will come to me. Doesn't say, I sure do. If God's not standing on the sidelines going, boy, I hope somebody makes it to me. I've done everything I possibly could to save them old hell-bound sinners. And God's not on the sidelines, unable to save a sinner. It says, all that the Father does what?
Giveth me.
What's it say is going to happen to them? They're going to come to me. They're going to come to me. He's going to make sure they come. He's going to make sure they hear the gospel. He's going to make them alive, and He's going to draw them right to Himself. Do you think it's by accident that you heard the gospel? Or is it because God worked behind the scenes and seen to it that you're headed? Did you respond to the gospel because you were brighter and smarter than everybody else? Or did you respond to the gospel because He opened your heart and He made you alive? He gave you koi music. Here's what I'm saying. He foreknew and He predestinated you, and He gave you to the Son. That's what He did, man. That's what He did. Are you still with me? Notice down in the same text, verse 39. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which He hath what? Everybody say, given me. All which He's given me. What's it say else? He ain't going to lose none of it. Folks, that's why He ain't come yet. He's going to make sure every one of them come to repentance before He comes. He's not going to Hollis. He's not going to lose none of them. He's going to make sure all of them comes in repentance before He comes. He's not going to lose none of them. He's not going to lose. Hey, when they respond by faith and trust in Christ, He's not going to lose them. He made sure they heard the message. He made sure their heart got open, and He's going to see that thing through all the way to the completion of it. All God's people said. Man, that's what it means to be saved. The usward's His elect. The usward is those that God foreknew and He predestinated. The usward is those that He gave to the Son. Turn to John 17. Y'all mind if I run a little bit over? Y'all mind if I run a lot over? Hey, let's worship the King tonight and throw the clock plumb outside. Let's finish this thing this evening. Plumb outside. Plumb. You know, can you imagine 100 years from now if the Lord tarries and they listen to CDs from our service, they'll think I was the biggest hick in Putnam County, won't they? I don't care what they think, long as they believe what I preach. It's the Word of God. John 17, verse 2. Now notice what this says in verse 2. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give stop there just a minute. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give what? To who? To as many as Thou hast given Him. That's what it says. That's exactly what 2 Peter 3:9 is telling you the usward is. It's the elect. It's those that's been given to the Son. It's those that He foreknew and predestinated. Are you still with me? Revelation. Hey, do something with this. It's just plain. It's laying there. All I have to do is accept it. I don't understand everything about it. But I can't understand how them lights work, but they don't stop me from flipping a switch. Right there she is. Look at it. Let's notice another text. Revelation chapter 17. I'm going to tell you a little something, folks. There's a misunderstanding about the Lamb's book. And you know what the misunderstanding about the Lamb's book is? Everybody's of the idea is that the moment you're saved, God in heaven reaches out with a pen and puts your name in the book. Now I'm in the book. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That's not what God's Word teaches. Revelation chapter 17. Notice what it says about when you was put in the Lamb's book. Revelation 17:8 says, "And the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not," what? "Written in the," what? "Book of life," when? "For the foundation of the world," it says, "it was written in the Lamb's book," or in the book of life. Same book. "He foreknew and He predestinated you." That's what it says. Coy, now let me just go. You don't care if I use you, do you? He gave you to the Son. Did that before the world ever began. Do you know He determined that Jesus died for you before the world began? Acts 2 says that He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Calvary wasn't no accident, folks. That was a plan. You know, He gave you to the Son, Corey. You know what else He did? He wrote your name in the Lamb's book. And He did that before the world ever began. He sure did. He wrote your name there. You see, what people don't understand about the Lamb's book is the Lamb's book. You know, there's the Lamb's book today. There's people in the Lamb's book that are saved sheep, and there's people in the Lamb's book that are lost sheep. And those lost sheep's going to come. Have you ever heard the parable of the lost sheep? "99 sheep is safe in the fold, and one is lost." And then it says that the shepherd looks for it, and he finds his lost sheep, and he goes. You know, it says that Jesus seeks and saves that which was lost. Before you were saved, my friend, you were a lost sheep. The day you were saved was the day the shepherd found you. By God's grace, you'll never hear me say the day I found Jesus. That was the day that Jesus found me.
Amen.
A lot of difference between the two. You see what I mean? So, you see, the Lamb's book contains, from the foundation of the world, all the sheep. Both lost sheep and saved sheep. And guess what? When the last lost sheep is found, that's when King Jesus will come. And He's holding back all of this wrath and all of this judgment until that very last one is saved. And when that last one is saved, He'll say, "Son, go get your people out. I'm going to destroy it." Oh, I'm not done. Boy, put your name in the book. Look at what it says in John chapter 10 now. I'm sorry getting off. Hey, it ought to tear you up. It makes me happy now. If this don't excite you, nothing will. Folks, there's people that call what I'm preaching here tonight a damnable doctrine. Baptist churches that call this doctrine a damnable doctrine. It's a precious doctrine. And right there it is. I'm just touching on the outskirts. I could show you a lot more things. I'm just showing you enough that before you can check it out. John 10, verse 15 says, "The Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for" what? "Lay down my life for the sheep." Now, verse 16 talks about us. Notice what it says. "Other" what? "I have. Other sheep I have, and they're not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." It doesn't say I sure hope that somebody out there might come to me. No, he says, they shall hear my voice. You know why people don't believe on the Lord? Notice what it says in verse 26. Ye believe not because you're what? You're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. The usward is his sheep. Matthew chapter 1. And then we'll move forward. Matthew chapter 1. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people. His people from their sin. I'm telling you, let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and let's start winding this thing down. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. The reason why Jesus hasn't come yet is He's long-suffering to the usward. That's His elect. That's those that He gave to the Son. That's those in the Lamb's book. That's those He foreknew and predestinated. That's those He calls His people in Matthew 1. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I don't know what you're going to do with those five things. You don't have to believe it, but that is very true, what I just told you. You see, Jesus hasn't come yet because He's still saving His people. That's the only way, listen to me, that's the only way a delay makes sense. If not a single soul perish, a delay don't make no sense. Corey, do you see what I'm saying? It don't make no sense at all because each day increasingly hundreds of thousands more go to hell. He's delaying coming because He's still saving His people. That's why He's not coming. And He's waiting on each one to come. And He's working. If there's one of His people in deep, darkest Africa that's not in a tribe, that's not even be found, there will be a missionary one of these days go down that river with a canoe to take him the gospel. God will see to it. There's an Ethiopian man that went to Jerusalem to the temple to worship. And he went there and he came out empty and he had a copy of Isaiah 53 and he was searching, wanted to know how to be saved. And he'd get a looking and across the desert came a deacon that could tell him about Christ. Who worked all that? God did. Work behind the scenes and see to it that one of His people hear the Word. Can I show you something else? One more thing. This is free. Hebrews 1:13. Hebrews 1:14. This is somewhat questionable, but I like it anyway. I think this is real true too. Can I say a little something to you? I think the Lord kept me alive until the day I trusted Him.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
I thank the Lord. You know, there are plenty of times I could have been killed. How about you? Have y'all guys ever had any close calls? There's plenty of times that I could have been killed, Jim died, and I figure you too. Plenty of times that my death could have come, but I was kept from it. Hebrews chapter 1, talking about angels. Verse 14 says, are they not all ministering what? Angels is ministering spirits sent forth to minister to who? To them. Who shall be? Who what? Who shall be heirs of salvation? Keep them from harm until they trust Christ. God's going to see to it, Jim Phillips. God's going to see to it. God's going to work behind the scenes. Hey, It all wasn't a stroke of luck that you was born in America. It all wasn't a stroke of luck that someone told you about Christ. It all wasn't a stroke of luck that God seen that you... And it wasn't by your own design that you understand the things that you do. It all was of God. Now, I've been called a hard shell, a hyper-Calvinist, and everything you want to be called, I've been called it because of this. A lot of churches wouldn't have me in their pulpit because of what I preach tonight. Wouldn't want me near it. Wouldn't allow me in it. And they misrepresent what I preach many times. All I say, now, with what I said tonight, who does it give all the glory to is my only question. That's what the doctrine of election and predestination does. It strips you of all the glory and places all the honor, gives all the honor and praise to Jesus Christ. And that's why I preach it to him.
Amen.
It gives all the honor and praise to him. Now, people call me a hard shell. Oh, it burns me up. You know, a hard shell don't think that you can know you're saved in this life. I've dealt with hard shells before. They see no reason to preach the gospel. They see no reason to have Sunday school. Does it sound like we're hard shells? If I was a hard shell, we wouldn't have a tape ministry. Now, you know something I don't have? I don't have a copy of the Lamb's book. He just tells me to go with the message. And He'll use that message to call His sheep. And I'll know them when they respond. You got people that believe this doctrine and sit back and never do nothing. And they go and whine and cry around because all nobody wants the truth of what it is. They're more concerned about spreading that doctrine than they are the gospel. He tells us to spread the gospel, then we indoctrinate people when that's what they're saying. Believe in preaching the gospel. Doing everything I can to get the message. This church doing everything you can to get the message. And then the Holy Spirit uses the message to call His people. Paul was at the city of Corinth, and when he got there, that place was wicked, about like going to San Francisco. And Paul was about ready to leave, and God appeared to him in a vision and said, Paul, preach. Now listen to what he said. I got a lot of people in his city. They needed to hear the word. Listen, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We're not hard shells. I just believe God does all the saving. Here's the difference between me and others. They think God's on the sidelines here rooting on someone to come, but He can't save them. He done everything He could, but He just can't do it. I'm on the other side. I think God begins it and finishes it. You believe whatever you want to, I guess. I think my king's more than a cheerleader.
Amen.
Begging someone to come but can't. Scriptures teach our God's mighty to save. And I told you just a couple weeks ago, He's the one that brought about your new birth. And I told you also, you had about as much to do with your new birth as you did with your physical birth. You said, well, Jeff, I had nothing to do with it. God did it all.
Amen.
God did it all. So that's what the text means, I believe. He's long-suffering to usward, His elect, and He's not come yet because He's not willing that any of those perish, but that all will come to repentance. And guess what? They all will.
Amen.
Because He'll make them alive and call them and save them. Oh, God, He will save them. Lord bless you tonight. Now, you know what? That's true whether you... I've had people quarrel with me and I look at them and say, that's true whether you want to believe it or not. It is. It's intended to be a blessing for you. It's not intended to be something to argue over. It's intended to be a blessing. May God add His blessings. Let's all stand. There was nobody who walked this earth, probably, other than the Messiah, that took the gospel to more people, really, than Apostle Paul.